Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you to today's episode. And today we have a very special guest, and he is a fellow podcaster, and his name is Eric West, and he does a podcast by the name of The Beat San Francisco. And what I'd like to do, without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Eric to the show. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. How about you?
I'm very good, and it's a nice hot day, and I'd rather be inside with the air conditioning talking to you. So, well, what I like
exact opposite here.
What it's
we
not?
We just came off of a week of hot, 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 and now it's cold again.
Oh, really? So it's all your fault.
Okay.
Well, good. Well, yeah, you just mentioned that you're in San Francisco, and of course, that's the part of your program name. And I was just wondering, could you tell our lovely listeners a little bit more about you and how old you are and all that good stuff?
Well, I am 42 years old. I'm an IT tech guru nerd. Works for a large company out of Massachusetts, but I work for the San Francisco division of it, and it's kind of the reason I got my podcast started, because I had nothing to do techie-wise at home, so I wanted to do something about that.
Okay, great.
Plus, I got inspired by a few shows I listened to, too.
Well, great. And well, we'll get in more on that in a little bit, but I was just wondering, are you originally from California?
Actually, no, but I've spent the most of my life here. I was actually born in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm a military brat, so I've been basically all over the world, 28 states and 8 countries.
Oh,
lived
wow.
In, actually. Yeah, and probably done almost every state in the union, vacation-wise, plus a few other countries. So I can actually say I've been through 11 countries and about 48 states.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, are you? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have. Actually, I've got that dual family kind of thing going. I have one sister from my original mom and dad, and then my dad got remarried, and I have a brother and sister from that marriage, so half.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and they're all younger. All younger. I'm the oldest.
You are. And you said you're 42, or...
42 as of Thursday, as a matter of fact.
And you just had a birthday, so congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And,
thank you.
You're going to have a big party today, later on, huh?
Yep, definitely, definitely. I got the sangria cooling in the refrigerator right now for everybody.
Well, great. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time. And, well, let's learn more, a little bit more about you then. So, so how old were you when you realized that you were gay?
Ooh, really realized it? I would say 13.
Really?
I mean, it was, 13, and I just knew it. I mean... at that time, I was in San Francisco. I actually went to a junior high, and I went through, junior high and most of high school here. And I just knew it. I mean, growing up in San Francisco, and I was living in the city at that time, and the revolution that was happening was so strong here, especially at that time, because the Milk and Harvey Milk and Moscone being assassinated, it was just a major thing here. So I was actually living here through that.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of opened my eyes that there were all these other gay people in this area, and they were out, and they were proud, and it was like, it made my coming out a lot easier.
Right. Well, I was going to say, obviously, being in a big city like that, and obviously it's a very, gay-friendly for the most part. I mean, I think that's amazing to be able to live there versus growing up, and like I did, and, in the small little town in Midwest Indiana. So, I mean, it's just a... I'm sure that you had a lot easier time. So what was it like? When did you first act on the fact that you were gay?
Probably around that time. I actually had a summertime boyfriend around that time. But that was actually because we used to spend our summers as kids in New York and New Jersey and Vermont and Connecticut, where my grandparents lived.
Right.
I was spending the summer there and kind of met up with this guy, and we kind of got together and spent the summer together, basically.
Well, cool. And so was that just for the summer then?
That was literally a summertime fling.
Yeah. Okay, so when did you first come out to anybody? How old were you then?
16, I guess, in high school. I actually came out to who then became my boyfriend through the rest of high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. He told me he was gay first, and then it's like, oh, well, okay, yeah, so am I. And the reason he told me was because he was interested, and that led to basically 2 years together.
Oh, wow.
in high school. And wow. then we kind of parted and went to college.
So
but we still talk to this day.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me ask you this question. So when did you finally decide to tell your family, your mom and dad? And
okay, now here's a little funny story. I didn't get to tell them. They told me.
Well, tell them.
I was my father in particular. By this time, my mother and father had broken up some 11 years earlier.
Right.
And I was staying with my father and was mentioning that I was going to bring somebody home to meet my father. And he said, "Well, who is he?" And I kind of stopped and went, "He?" He's like, "Yes, I already know." I'm like, "Oh, wow, I think we need to get the drama."
Did he say how he knew, or did he just, you know, guess, or
he
what?
He just said he knew. He just knew. It was, you know, it was something that he felt was probably true for a while, and his wife kind of confirmed it for him.
Wow.
So
but he was very accepting or positive, right?
Oh, extremely. And my father's also a psychiatrist. My stepmom is a cardiologist, and my mom is a psychologist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
the
how
Brainiac
about
family.
So how about coming home or coming out to your mom? How was that?
Oh, that was another one of those, you know, when you bring your boyfriend over kind of discussion.
So no big deal, huh?
It was no big deal. For them, it was no big deal. And what's funny is they knew, but I've been in situations at work, especially where, well, I worked at certain places for like 2 years before they realized, why is this guy's picture on my desk?
Really?
Because they always think I'm straight. Yeah, yeah. And that's here in San Francisco and in, you know, surrounding areas where I've worked. It's like just kind of funny that, you know, an area with this much gay life and they still think, oh, yeah, I'm straight.
Wow, that's amazing. So how about with your, did you have any other interesting stories as far as coming out with your friends or?
Actually, that was the funniest part is it was like, most of the friends, I have to admit, even to this day, I've got, you know, 26 really close friends, and they're all gay, except for one girl. So it's like, you know, it's just very gay culture in my life.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, up until Thursday, I was working for San Francisco AIDS Foundation as well, so, you know, gay work, gay home, 24/7 gay, you might say.
No, I'm sorry, what was that again? I couldn't hear you very well.
I worked for San Francisco AIDS Foundation up until last Thursday, and so it was kind of like 24/7 gay in my life.
You know? Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, not a whole lot of straight people.
Now, what did you do for them?
Actually, I was at their IT infrastructure reorg person. They are basically 10 years behind in IT infrastructure, and I went in to actually fix that up and get them going on the newest stuff.
Okay, great. So, wow.
So it was
okay.
Nice. It was a good gig, and I got them to the new mail system and all that, and then I got another opportunity that came up that I just could not pass up because it's such a huge corporation and well-established, and I'll be establishing more and more of their San Francisco office.
Okay, great. And hopefully it means a lot more dinero.
Yeah, actually it was a nice little increase. I'm like, oh, nice, I can deal with that.
Yeah, everybody loves a good increase in pay.
Oh, yeah, especially when it covers your rent for the year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a nice increase.
Well, good. Well, let me ask you this question. So where did you go to college then?
Actually, at Chaminade University in Hawaii.
Wow.
Music and drama arts, which meant that once I finished there, I was qualified to teach. And I don't teach well.
No.
So I actually came back to California and did a little time at Berkeley, got a poli-sci, and went on to become an attorney, and hated that.
Really?
So after all that, I was 2 years of an attorney, and then I kind of decided that I liked the computers better, and that's where I ended up, and that's where I've been.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah.
To go from one extreme to the other, I mean, it's just incredible. So
I like what I'm doing a lot more now.
Right. Well, you know, that's the basic message I'd love to tell people is that you always want to have a job that you love so that it's not going to feel like work. Like right now, this podcast, I mean, I just love being able to do this, interview great people like yourself, and you know, and hopefully have a connection, which I've been very honored to have a lot of people respond and say really nice, positive things about the shows and the interviews I've done. And so it's just been astronomical, and I just wish that I could do this for a full-time job versus what I do now.
Oh, just tell me about it. I'd love for Alan Curry to call me and say, hey, you want a contract?
Yeah, that would be awesome. So, but, you know, you never know. It could happen. I mean, look, it happened to Wanda. You know, she was a year into it, and she got offered a job. And now she's
Lavender, yeah. She's at Lavender, and I love her show.
Yeah, so she's been...
I tend to be a Sunday catch-up person because I've got so many casts I'm listening to, so... Most of Sunday is just walking around with my headset on, listening and catching up.
Yeah, well, that's one of the great things. I mean, I have to say, it's one of the benefits of my job is that I travel quite a bit, and I drive, and so I basically spend the whole day listening to podcasts. So it allows me to get caught up, and I've been listening to your show and some others, and so I've just been really, you know, trying to spread my podcasting horizon per se, and that's how I'm finding yeah. new people, and you know, like yourself, and it's just been awesome, and you just did a couple of shows on Gay Pride, and you know, and a lot of other different things. So I definitely want to again encourage people to check out your site. Again, it's called thebeatsf.com is the website, and
right.
you can find it on iTunes, and you can go right to that website. If you're already subscribed to iTunes, you just click on the little button on the left, and boom, you're right there. So it's very cool. So you were an attorney, and then you got out of that, and then you decided to go into the computers, and you've been basically doing that ever since then. Is that right?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I actually kind of took a major drastic pay cut, like about $50,000 a year.
Wow.
Back in the early 90s to kind of switch over and just do what has been a secondary part of my life, most of my life, because I actually... started doing programming in high school and just kind of fell away from it, thinking that in my family you've got to have something after your name. Everybody's got a PhD or an MD or something like that.
Right.
I figured I'll go get my JD. Yay! And realized that no, I am not an attorney.
Right.
Good actor, but not an attorney.
Well, good.
So that's when I switched, and I said, you know, it's time to do something that I like, and I can interact with people in a way that I like, and IT was definitely the way to go. I started out with some of the big companies like Pac Bell, which is now AT&T, again, doing their help desk. So, you know, I had contact with people that I wanted to talk to, and I was doing something that I wanted to do, so it just made my life a lot more... I actually enjoyed getting up to go to work.
Well, good. Well, that's what everybody hopes to have, and you know, that's right now with my job. There's just days where I really don't care for it. But then the plus is that I make pretty good money, and the other thing is I do get to travel, and I do get to, you know, meet people that I've interviewed for my show. So I mean, I'm kind of getting paid in a way to do my program. So
I like that.
In an indirect way, but it's really cool. So, well, let me ask you this question, going back to you, because obviously this is the core of the topic of the day. We're putting you under the spotlight, and so when you were going to college, did you have a boyfriend at that point?
Oh, actually, in school, not really. It was more towards after school when I got with. My first long-term lover, Michael, we were together for 6.5 years. That wow. tends to be my length of time is 6.5 years.
Well, how did you meet him?
We actually met in school, towards the end of school in Hawaii. And then I moved back here, and just by happenstance, he got a job back here also. And we met up and kind of did the come-out thing and were interested in just, boom, boom, 6 years later, house, car, dog, cat, the whole thing.
So what was that like when you first met? I mean, did you guys live together? Did you live apart?
We actually, when we first got together, we were living apart. We lived apart and dated for about 3.5 months, almost 4, and decided that after that long, we tended to either be at one person or the other person's house. So let's get rid of both of those and go buy a house. And basically that's what we did. We went and bought a house in the Oakland Hills and moved in together and decorated it and got the dog, got the cat, got the cars, and we're, you know, everything but the 2.3 kids.
So what was that like having your first long-term relationship and, you know, living together like that? You know, for a new person, what was that experience like for you?
It was wonderful. I am one of those people that just, I'm a long-termer, you know. I unfortunately, it doesn't always work out for the rest of your life. But, I, you know, I know people have been together for 25 and 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's fantastic. And I hope the next guy that I do meet is the one that's for the rest of my life. But, you know, I'm that's, if it happens, it happens. I'm actually happy being single right now. It's kind of a different thing for me.
Yeah. Well, I was just... I'm sorry, say that again? Say that last line again?
I've been in committed relationships for so long that it's like, it's kind of nice to be, you know, just by, whatever I want to do it and don't have to ask anybody else.
Right. Well, good. Well, I don't like to normally bring up bad things, but I was just wondering, what do you think was the major reason why you and Michael didn't work out?
It was more about careers than anything else at that time.
Okay.
Mine was here, and his was more in Los Angeles, and it ended up finally being back in Boston where he's from.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of a situation where, you know, I love you, and I really would like to move, but it would mean, you know, I knew if I did move, it would probably have still cost the relationship, and I would have had to move back.
Right.
It was just one of those situations. So we parted and went our separate ways.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's too bad. But I know some other people that I've talked to recently that, you know, they had the similar thing happen where, you know, they've been in a relationship, but then due to job, that one of them moved, and then the other one really wasn't able to move, and so it definitely was a, you know, a factor. And then again, long distance relationships, you know, tend to
very difficult.
Yeah, very difficult. So in a way, it probably was, you know, maybe better for you at that point. But
it was a good thing, and I'll tell you this much: I've never parted in anger, or, you know, I'm still friends with both my exes, and still talk to them to this day. One lives locally, and like I said, Michael lives back in Boston now, and we still communicate via email and on the phone at least once a month.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that the line of communications is, you know, still open. You know, as you well know, with a lot of couples, sometimes when stuff like that happens, it's, you know, kind of cuts the tie. But you mentioned another boyfriend. So you had another long term after Michael then?
Another almost 7 years with Tim. Tim and I met that's right. We met at a club called JR's in Walnut Creek years ago. It's not even there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of met by chance, friend of a friend, and were introduced and exchanged phone numbers. The next night we had a 3 or 4 hour conversation on the phone and said, let's get together. And within 3 months of dating him, we actually moved in together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he actually moved from Oakland. He had just finished college himself. Was just starting in the job market and da da da. And it just worked out that he happened to get one of the retail stores that was in Danville. And I lived in Walnut Creek at the time. And he was getting tired of the commute. And I'm like, well, why don't we just, I'll get rid of my place, we'll get a 2-bedroom, and we'll move it. And at 7 years later, we were still going.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was the age difference between the two of you?
Let's see. It was 4 years. 4 years. I was 4 years older.
Oh, okay.
I've always been the older one.
Okay. Well, great. Well, how... So, again, I'm just curious because I think it's important to talk about it, but I was just curious what happened with him.
Basically, it was one of those situations where he had, you know, never really been alone. He'd never spent any time on his own or anything like that. And I saw it coming. I just knew that, you know, after 7 years of me, We still loved each other, but it was like he needed his independence. He needed to be alone. He needed to get out on his own. So he was a school teacher by the time we broke up, and he moved down to the San Jose area where his parents were to be closer to his family and to work for that school district, because that's the school district he wanted to work for.
Right.
And I stayed up here.
Wow.
Bought another condo, and that's been my single time since then.
Wow. So how long ago did that happen?
That's about, what's this, 2006. So now almost 6 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been single for the amount of time that I was in committed relationships almost.
Wow. Well,
I was basically with somebody for 13 years in all.
Yeah. Well, that's what my ex and I, we were together 13 and a half years. And
yeah.
it was not an easy thing to end, you know, and it was not good. So, but I definitely can relate, and I understand. And that's why I think it's important to talk about how you met and what made it successful, but then also, you know, what made it, you know, unfortunately end, because then I think it's important for the younger people to hopefully, as they're listening to us today, that hopefully if they're in a relationship and it's, you know, and they're younger and you know, they're dealing with the day-to-day life, is that they have to, A, communicate, and B, be open and honest with each other so that you can prevent these kind of things, and hopefully by, you know, letting...
Well, and even get to know when sometimes it's time to say, you know. I know I still want this to stay, and I want this to be, but you need to go. You need to go and do something that you want to do, and all I'm doing is holding you back. And if we keep this relationship going, it may be detrimental to both of us. So
yeah.
I need to let you go and go do what you need to do and let you evolve. And because if you stay in this relationship, then you're just going to you're going to have a grudge against me.
Right.
And that's not going to work either. So I knew I had to do that with Tim especially. It was like, you know, you need to go do what you got to do. I'm not going to, as much as I'd love to say, let's go into counseling, let's do this, let's do that. No, it'd be holding you back because you'd have a grudge against me for the rest of our lives, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's true. And see, to be honest with you, with my ex and I, one of the things that I felt is that, and I think he probably would agree, I mean, we were exact opposites. And see, unfortunately, I had started a new job. I was traveling. It's a job that I have now. And I was just constantly gone. But the thing was is that because of the job, I ended up becoming more independent. And I think that part of the problem is that I think he kind of liked being the quote-unquote provider, if I can use that word. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
But what happened was because I was becoming more independent, I was not... You know, I needed to rely on myself to book the hotels and plan my schedule and coordinate all the things I needed to do my job properly. And so, therefore, it then kind of affected the way we were because I was gone like 3 or 4 days a week. But the thing was that I don't blame my job for the breakup, because the fact is that even if I had a job that I was working 8 to 5 and I was home with his schedule, he worked a lot of nights and weekends. And so, even if I had been home, we still would not have had all that time. We'd probably have maybe 2-3 nights at home together where indirectly we had that, you know, even though I had this job. But because he decided to do other things and that I really don't want to get into, and people probably heard on other shows that
No, I understand.
But he liked to blame it on my job as one of the reasons. And I said, well, even if I was home, you know, you still weren't there. And there's a bunch of other things have happened.
And,
so.
And one of the things I've learned in my relationships is, like, you know, both of my relationships were basically, we were 9-to-5ers, and we had almost every night at home, and you know, that life was perfect. But it was when jobs changed and things changed that, yeah, sometimes that can push a relationship
mm-hmm.
in a different direction.
But see,
that's very much better.
Yeah. Well, see, the other part of the problem was that, and I can say for my ex, is that, see, he really wasn't a communicator. He would hide his feelings within himself, and he would never, like, he was very unhappy with his job, and he never told me. And he didn't have the balls to go find something else until after, you know, we broke up. And so if I would have known that, I would have encouraged him to leave. But he kept saying, oh, no, it's okay. And then I find out later that he was unhappy. And see, the thing is, too, is that he didn't have a lot of – friends on his own, that I think that was part of the problem too. And so I did. Well,
my situation was kind of a bit different, because both we being Michael and Tim, had a huge group of our own friends from school and the like, and I've been living here so long that I've got people that I've known since high school, and you know, we've got fallen, you know, apart and come back together, and just, you know, we had our own, both, all of us had our own, you know, support group around us, that some of them intermingled. And what's kind of funny is, Tim, my last ex, he actually now lives in a, well, I shouldn't say lives, but owns a building along with the two roommates that he had when we met.
Oh,
so he
wow.
kind of went full circle.
Yeah. Because, see, I think...
He lives just a few blocks away.
Yeah. Well, see, the one thing I think it's amazing is that, especially if you're in a relationship, is that you have to have the time together, obviously, but the thing is that you need to have your time apart too, and you need to have your own separate interests. And you know, like I have a friend of mine that I talk to, Aaron, on the show. Well, Aaron is more of an outdoors guy, all the hobbies, and you know, he likes the all the train vehicles and all those things. But then his partner is more of a musician, and he tends to like, you know, the opera and music, and so they all have their
more artsy.
Yeah. And
kind
so
of artsy bird. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so the thing is that, you know, they do things together in both their related areas, but the thing is they also have the time where they're apart. And I think that is important too. So to make
it
more well balanced.
I'm one of those people that, you know, I'll go on a camping trip, boom, all of a sudden, and my last two partners were camping. You. Their idea of camping was, you know, 4-star hotel.
Yeah, that's how I am. I would tell friends, yeah, my idea of roughing it is staying at a Holiday Inn. So, so that's my idea of roughing. Because the funny thing is, I've been meeting all these guys lately, whether they're online or on the profile, you know, online things, and I've been talking to people. And the running thing is that for like, there was like 4 or 5 people I was talking to, and like every one of them loved camping. And I'm like, ew, no, just kidding. I was like, oh, my God.
No. I used to go at least 2 or 3 times during the summer. And just, I mean, the tent and the hike and the whole thing. And I love it. And I've never had a partner that I have to say, it's been opposite attracts kind of thing where camping? No, you can go camping. That's your time alone. That's your thing. And when we go on vacation together, it's got to be at least a 3- to 4-star hotel. Okay.
That would be me too. So, wow. So that's amazing. Okay. So, so after you had those two, and you've been single now, and you mentioned your work at the AIDS organization, and so you did that for a while. Now you got a brand new job that you're getting involved with. And now, one of the things that I want to get to, obviously, is what you and I both love to do is as our hobby is the podcast. And and I was just wondering, could you tell the lovely listeners of the Ramble Redhead Show a little bit about your show and what's it all about?
Well, basically, the origins of it was I discovered some podcasts kind of accidentally at a job I was at about 7 months ago, almost 8 months ago, and kind of ran across a couple of websites, and I was like, oh, what's this? And, you know, podcasting, what the heck is that? And then iTunes started picking it up, I noticed. So I started downloading some of them that were gay and lesbian related. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool because there's no FCC regulations. Anybody can do it. You can put out your content that you care about. And I have to admit, what I listen to is not what my show is about. My show originally started off where I was going to do, you know, information about what's going on in the city and da-da-da. And it kind of turned into my thoughts. But my thoughts about what's going on, not sitting around talking about what I did that week or la-di-da-da-da, but the history of San Francisco, of being a gay person, and things like that. And eventually it turned into Allison and I got together and started talking about, you know, just many different things. But still, it was much about what's going on in the community and, you know, gay youth and certain things that have popped up from, you know, shows like End of Life and things like that where we wanted to talk about them. So it's, you know, that's what it's evolved into.
So of all the episodes that you've done yourself with Allison, what would you say your favorite or your that you would recommend people listening to first?
Two favorites. And One is my 13th episode, which is a video blog, actually.
Okay.
Because Audacity blew up on me after a good 40-minute show.
Oh, no.
And took my show with it. Yeah. So I love Willing Warriors so much, and I love what he has to talk about, and I kind of miss him because he is here now, and he's doing more activist stuff here in San Jose, in the San Jose area, which is about an hour down from me. And so he's not video casting as much. He does put one out every once in a while, but not as often as when he was in Chile. And I decided, you know what, let me do one. Let me see if I can do one. And I put one together, and I loved it, but I also hated it because I thought I looked so silly.
Okay.
Because I have one of those faces where when I'm expressing something, it, you know, it pops out in my face.
Right.
So it was like, oh, wow. And then my second most favorite one is actually our last podcast, which was number 32, which was probably one of the best ones Allison and I have ever done. Just good topics, and just went through. And unfortunately, because I only do a weekly show, my show tends to be about an hour and 15 minutes long. So it's a little longer than some of the people that do it daily, but it's because we have Saturday to sit around and go, boom, bleh.
Right.
Let's just skew this out.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that it's going well for you, and I'm glad you have some good shows. And I'm gonna, I mean, what I've listened to so far, I really enjoyed, and I'm gonna be catching up on all the. I'm going back to the very first one, and I'm gonna go through all the way up through again, and just to refresh myself on it. And but again, I want to go ahead.
The earlier shows were much shorter because it was just me, and they tended only to be about 30 to 34 minutes, and. As we've gotten together and we sit and talk, it's like, blah, 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 blah. We could literally probably sit here for 3 hours, and then I could put out a show every day if I cut it up.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, according to a lot of the industry stuff that I've read, just so you know, is that the average listener will only be able to listen to like 20 to 30 minutes. So it really might be better if you actually cut your shows in half. Because I was getting ready to say, like right now, we're at 32 minutes right now. So I normally what I'll do is I would say, okay, we're going to cut, but I don't know how much more you want to go into this, but just to show you, that's a little average that I read, and
And that's one of the things that I talked about in the last show is that, you know, maybe we would, you know, break this up a little bit more and give you only about 30 minutes, part one, part two kind of thing.
Yeah, because it helps. Yeah, because it makes it go a little faster. So, Well, you mentioned that you listened to a lot of podcasts in the beginning. I was just curious, who did you listen to?
Ooh, let's see. Who was the very first? I guess. Oh, who was the very first person? It was, you know who it was? It was Reagan Fox.
Really?
It was Reagan Fox. Yeah. And I found Fox in the city, and I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. This is so good. And, oh, I could. Ooh, can I put out something like this? And I'm like, no, but I can put out something that I like. And then I went on to find Wanda, Wisdom, Before Lavender, and. Who else do I have back then? I guess I found Madge Weinstein, and I actually did not find out about Adam Curry until like 2-3 months after that.
Wow.
When Madge got onto, you know, Sirius Radio and all that, then I discovered him and everybody else that's on my site now just became part of my daily listening. I love the Feast of Fools. I know there's people out there who just hate them, but I love them.
Yeah.
I think they put out a really good daily show, and it's always got some good topics to me.
Well, good.
So,
and do you want to tell the lovely listeners how you got onto my program?
Well, it's funny because I have a Frapper map, and people do put themselves up every once in a while, and the first four people were other podcasters. So
right.
I would run and go listen to their show, and I discovered your show, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I love the interviews. I mean, just on topic and clean and nice and some decent people to listen to, and it's just a great show. So that's how I discovered it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, well, I was just wondering, of the shows that you've listened to, which ones did you like the best?
Okay, ranking the shows. I'll rank them by what I listen to in the morning. That. On my way out the door, it's Feast of Fools. When I get to work, it's Adam Curry. And during the day, it tends to be I go through Little Fatty, the other O, and I usually save your show for, like, on the way home when I know I don't have to stop. and okay. I can actually listen to the whole thing and not have to, because during the day I tend to, you know, have the iPod on and off and on and off for doing work and when I'm sitting at my desk as opposed to when I'm running around the office. So that's just kind of the way I do it. Is the more talk show oriented ones I save for the end of the day where I can just listen to the whole thing because I hate stopping on those.
Right. Okay, well, let me try this again. Oh, I was asking of my show. Which
oh,
one?
Oh, of your show.
I was being egotistical.
Okay, well, of your show, I do like the one I like, the one of the two I like the best, where your interview with Mark was remarkably, I can't say it.
Just say remarkably, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. You said it.
Okay.
And that was an awesome, awesome interview. And also the one you did with Alice.
Yes. I love talking. Yeah, I love talking with her. She's such a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she's really been a great inspiration to me as well as a lot of the listeners. I've been getting lots of emails from people about that. So
that's awesome because yeah, yeah. It was a very good show.
Well, thank you. I'll have to let her know that and appreciate it. And one of the things I'd like to ask you, Eric, if you could do me a favor, once you listen to a show like that, please go to the website, leave a comment, or call on my comment line, or do me a favor and you know, send me an email or whatever, because again, I love to get feedback, because the more feedback I can get to the guest, and then therefore, you know, they're going to be happy that they took the time to do that. So again,
you got
I would,
it for sure. You got
yeah.
it.
Okay, great.
Definitely.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add to this at all?
I'm trying to think of all the things I wanted to say, and I think I've pretty much spewed them all out.
Okay, good.
But no, I definitely enjoy your show, and I encourage you to keep going because, you know, the people that you've interviewed have been very interesting and have kept my attention, and it's been kind of neat to hear, you know, what's going on in the other side of America, per se, and just the different people that you have on.
Okay, great. Well, I really appreciate that. And again, I am definitely going to do this. This has probably been the most positive experience I've ever had in my life has been podcasting, whether it's listening to shows or actually, you know, taking the time to find people and doing the interviews and meeting wonderful people like yourself. And again, while I'm at it here, I definitely want to, you know, plug the podcast again. And again, you can find it at the website called The Beat SF. As in San Francisco, .com.
Yep.
And make sure you go check his show out. And, Eric, obviously, if you've been a listener of my show, you know that there's one question left I have to ask you. And I hope that you've done your homework and you have a wonderful, wonderful answer to this question. But as you know, that you and I have a forum that we have, and the majority of people that do listen normally are younger people. And obviously, you know, majority of them are in the our GLBT area. So the thing is, I was just wondering, looking back at your life, looking at all the things that you've gone through and done, I was just wondering if you could tell the listeners one thing that you'd like to learn from you, what would that be?
Especially the gay youth. Not to worry. It starts off as a jumble for some people. Some people just come right out. But as you go through life, it gets easier, it gets better, it's there. And the A number one thing I've got to say, and we say it in all my shows, A number one, it's a life, not a lifestyle, and B, please be safe. There's no reason not to be safe. And I'm saying this from my heart and from working in AIDS organizations where I'm seeing that the seroconversion in youth is getting ridiculously high, and we've got to stop it. We've got to stop it, and we've got to address them. So that's my big thing.
Okay, great. Well, again, I would love to, you know, thank you so much for being on the program. I really appreciate it, and I love what you just said. I think that's very important for everyone to take to heart because, obviously, you know, we want you to be happy and healthy, and we want you to live long, happy lives, whether it's with, you know, a loving partner or if it's, you know, you being on your own or whatever it might be. You know, you want to live the best, happiest that you can be, and that's what we want.
And I guess the only other thing I would say is be comfortable with being by yourself and with yourself, because if you're not, then you're not going to be comfortable with somebody else. I think that's really important too.
Yeah, exactly, and that's come up in several of my other interviews where, you know, if you can't love yourself, then you can't have anybody else love you. So you need to start with yourself first. And if there is something that you want to do better, if there's something about yourself that you want to change, then do it. Don't sit on your butt and go, oh, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, get off your butt.
Exactly.
Get off your butt and do it. You know, get off a coulda, woulda, shoulda lane, you know, and move on to my life. Because that's what I did. And to be honest with you, when I broke up with my ex, one of the first things that happened, I said, wow, can I do this? Can I do this on my own? And the thing was that as time went on, I could. And I paid all the bills. I took care of the credit card stuff that I had. I really put myself and my heart and soul into work and stuff. And so my life has totally changed in so many ways. I've got a lot more friends now. I have a great podcast now. I have wonderful new people that I've met all over the world because of this. And so my life is so much better in many ways because I made that step in that right direction.
Yep.
So
yep. I agree with you totally. Definitely meeting different people from all over the world. I mean, I just found out I got a bunch of listeners in London now, too. And that was like, wow, cool.
Well, great.
Next time I'm out there, I'm going to have to do a meet and greet with them.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Okay, well, what we'll do then is we're going to go ahead and end the show right now. But what I'd like to do is thank you, Eric, again, for being on the program. You're a great guy. And,
thank you.
And would you like to say goodbye to the lovely listeners?
Goodbye, lovely listeners. And if you want to get in contact with me, it is thebeatsf@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Well, what I'd like to do real quick is just to thank the listeners for being part of the program as well and listening. And again, I'd like to encourage all of you to please go to my website, which is rambleredhead.com, and post a comment on this as well as any of the other episodes you've heard. Even if you've gone back to day one and you listen to them all, please, I'd love to hear from you. The other thing is that you can do is I have a My Chingo on my website as well, and you can leave an audio message if you have a recorder. Just leave a message. Let me know what you think. The other thing that I want to let you know, and I need your help support right now, from July 28th until August 11th, my show has been nominated for a podcast award. And so what I'd like for you to do is please go to podcastawards.com. And what it'll do is it'll pull up a ballot, and you go to the GLBT section, and make sure you select random Ramble Redhead. I can't even say my own name right. Ramble Redhead, and just go down and put in your name and put in your email address, and then you hit the send button. And by doing that, what you're doing is voting for the program, and then they're going to probably send you an email to verify the vote. And all you have to do is click on the link, and that's it. And it's that easy, and you can do it every single day. So I definitely would encourage you.
I have done it three times.
All right. I love you. So please do that. So please vote for the program. And then also there's my comment line, which is 574-203-4263. And again, if you have some time, also one last thing is that if you could also go to iTunes and find my show, and you can also write a review. I've got 6 reviews so far. I'd like to get that number up. And so I'd love to have you do that. You know, 5 stars would be awesome. I'm not asking for much, but 5 stars would be awesome. So you keep take care, everybody, and keep on listening to the Ramble Redhead Show.
Perfect.